This morning, as we all know, years back, a tragic day on September 11th. Thousands of people lost their lives, 2001, after the hijackers flew planes into the Pentagon and the World Trade Center. Nearly 6,000 were injured, on top of the many thousands that lost their lives. There are many stories of heroism. But a few minutes after the airline flight 175 struck the South Tower of the World Trade Center, another flight was coming in, flight 93. It was turning toward D.C. Huddled in the back of the plane, men, women that were beginning to find out what the real plan was. Several passengers made phone calls to their loved ones. Tom, they're hijacking planes all up and down the East Coast. Deanna Burnett told her husband, Tom, a passenger on Flight 93, they are taking them and hitting designated targets. They've already hit both towers of the World Trade Center. And Tom learned later, another plane hit the Pentagon. We have to do something, Burnett told his wife at 9:45. I'm putting together a plan. Other passengers, including Mark Bingham and Jerry Glick and Todd Beamer, were learning similar details in their own phones as a plane was barreling toward D.C. Earlier, two F-16s scrambled with little detail of what was happening and no time to do pre-flight checks. Two D.C. Air National Guard pilots quickly scrambled to intercept Flight United 93 after two planes had already hit the World Trade Center. In the days before 9/11, there were no armed aircraft standing guard in D.C., ready to scramble at the sign of trouble. With a Boeing 757 aircraft speeding in the direction of Washington, D.C., Penny and her commanding officer, Colonel Mark Sasseville, couldn't wait the minutes it would take to arm their plane. We had to protect the airspace any way we could. They got together, jumped in their planes, and took off. We wouldn't be shooting it down. We'd be ramming it. I would essentially be a kamikaze pilot. Before they took off, they both discussed the plan to take their planes, two F-16s, and bring down United 93. What they didn't know, the passengers had voted on 93 to fight back against the air hijackers. Led by a four-man group, the passengers then decided to rush the cockpit, with Beamer rallying them in his last words, famous words, "Okay, let's roll." At 9:57, the recorder cockpit picks up the sounds of fighting in an aircraft losing control at 30,000 feet. The crash of trolleys and dishes being hurled and smashed, the terrorists screaming at each other, "Hold the door!" As a siege from the cabin, the passenger cries, "Get them!" And there was more screaming than a breach. "Give it to me," a passenger shouts, attempting to seize the controls, and then the plane hit the ground. Instead of the two intercepting jets having to give their lives, Flight 93 was taken down by the passengers 20 minutes before they got to D.C. heroes. America has always been filled with heroes. You know, today, when you see the police officers not being respected like all of them ought to be, there's something wrong with our country. We don't see people pull over quickly for firemen rushing to the scene. Almost an arrogance like, I deserve to be here. Something wrong with America. And you know, part of it is our fault in this room. But we can be like Nehemiah. We can be like Todd Beamer. We can be like these two aircraft pilots that jumped on their planes with no bullets. We can do something. Now, we all face enemies. I just want to point out to you three of them today. Number one, we all face an enemy from above, the old devil. You'll notice in Nehemiah 1 that you'll see in chapter 1, verse 3, that they were in great affliction. There was great damage done to Israel, and part of the reason why is the Lord pulled back his hands. He said, if you're not going to love me, if you're not going to follow me, if you're not going to serve me, he pulled back his hands and let Israel have their own way, and the country collapsed. You know, the Lord can do that to us. We started out as a Christian nation. The Puritans and the Pilgrims, they came to America to get away from England, the tyranny in England, so they could worship the Lord here with the freedom to read their Bibles. Do you know the first primer in America was the Bible? Learn to read and write through using the scriptures. And yet we've gone away from that. Now we don't even allow it in our public schools. So we are doing it to ourselves. You'll notice in this passage here that the Bible says that there was an affliction. Hebrew word here, misery, difficulty, evil had struck the nation. You know, evil and difficulty strikes people, these people. We all have a defender from the one above, the one that attacks us. The Bible says in Peter that the old devil is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's after everybody in this room. And were it not for the God of heaven saying, leave them alone, leave them alone, leave Job alone. Did you notice what happened? Job lost. He was the richest man of the East, and he lost everything in 15 minutes or less because the Lord pulled back his hands and said, okay, Satan, you can have Job for 15 minutes. He lost everything, his children, his wealth. And yet, he refused to cave in. Now, you know, today the old devil's after all of us. And he's already won the victory in most of our lives because the Bible says that all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. He's gotten all of us to fall into the depths of sin. Every one of us in this room. There's nobody that's good enough to say, Lord, would you let me into heaven if I do this, this, and this? No one here can pay for one sin you've ever committed. We're all guilty. And the Bible says in Romans that the book was written that we all might see the guiltiness of our own selves. And yet Jesus Christ, our great defender, said 2,000 years ago, Father, I'm going to go take care of their debt of sin. And so Jesus Christ took off his robes of heaven, came to this earth, born in a manger, and lived the perfect life you and I couldn't live. And we hated him for it. They put him on the cross and mocked him and made fun of him. And yet, from the very first day, that's why he came, was to pay your debt of sin and mine. He's our great defender from the evil from above. Now, Satan wants everybody in this room to die and go to hell. You know, the Bible says, if you read the Bible, and I read it all the time, I've read every word of it, I don't know how many times, from cover to cover, and there's only two places a person's going to go 1 second past death. Excuse me. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. 1 second past death, you'll be either in heaven or in hell. It's one of the two. There's no midpoint, never mentioned in Scripture. and without a defender, without one to stand up for you and say, Father, he's mine. He's trusted me. Everybody in this room, you need a defender from the evil above, from the old devil. You need someone to stand up for you. And there's only one person who can do it. I can't do it. Nobody in this church can do it. All of us, including me, we need a defender, someone that you can go to and say, will you forgive me of my sin? I'm sorry. I need defense from my sin. And the Lord will say to you, yes. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it didn't say might be saved, didn't say may be saved, didn't say if you get baptized, didn't say if you join our church. It said you've got to go to one person and ask him for your defense, to stand up for you. And that's Jesus Christ. There's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Now, that's the reason why the Lord calls preachers. We could do something else, but the Lord says, I want you to preach the truth. I want you to stand up for the truth. I want you to let people know that I'm willing to save them. I want you to do it all your life. And you know, he calls all of us to do that. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. It tells us all to do that. Our missionaries do that, sort of signified in the little video that was up there. All of us are missionaries of sorts because the gospel is there. The opportunity for heaven is there, but we must tell people. I know people say, well, I'd like to talk about religion. Well, if I had a cure for cancer, I'd like to talk about it. And I got a cure for sin, and his name is Jesus Christ. And so all of us in this room have got to get to the point where we say, look, I'm not trying to be arrogant or in your face or anything. We don't do that. You just got to share with people that Jesus Christ loves them enough to die for them. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When I received Christ as my Savior as a teenage boy, I knew there's nothing else in the world to do of greatest value than to tell people the wonderful story of Christ. And today, if you're here and you can look back through your life and you can't find a time when you went to Jesus Christ and said, Lord Jesus, would you be my defender? Would you forgive me? Would you stand up for me when I die? You need a Savior. And today's the best day to do it. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. And so I remember the day I got saved, and I thank the Lord again this morning as I do every morning. Lord, thank you for that day 48 years ago when you touched my heart. And I said no, and you said yes, and I said no, and I argued with you. I said, what would people think? I'm a good person, and I'm this and I'm that. And when I finally got to the point where I was like this city here, my walls were torn down, I was burnt from within, and I was a sinner and had no hope, then I did what Nehemiah did. I prayed before the God of heaven. And that's the only defense from the enemy from above. Today, have you trusted Christ as your Savior? It's the simplest religion, if you call it that, on earth. Most religions, almost all of them, say you got to do something. I mean, you got to go to church, you got to give money. Now, I'd like for it to be if you gave money. You know, I mean, that'd be good, but that doesn't get you to heaven. That won't get you one foot into heaven. It may, well, you get baptized or you be faithful to church or you do whatever. Anything to get people to get close to doing what they want them to do. But Jesus Christ said, I'm going to pay the debt. I've been all over the world in many places and I've seen people, if the Lord would have said it's going to cost you one nickel to get to heaven, that had died and gone to hell. And Jesus Christ knew that. So he said, I'll pay the debt. You just accept it. I'll pay your debt. You just accept it. We just need more missionaries to go around the world and be defenders. We need more doctors and nurses to be defenders. But not just to defend physically, but to defend spiritually, to let people know the truth of the gospel. Now, you know, a lot of people are say, well, you know, I've got big things to do. I've got police work, or I've got a surgery to go to, or I've got this or that. But you know, if your heart is lost, the Lord spoke about a man that became very rich. He had such a profitable business enterprise that he had so much in stuff that he couldn't stow it all, so he decided to tear down his barns and build bigger barns. And then that night he sat down in his chair when his barns were all finished and all of his wealth was stored in his barns. He said, now I'm going to take my ease and eat and drink and be merry for the rest of my life. And the Lord Jesus tapped on his heart and said, thou fool, tonight thy soul will be required of thee. And then what? You don't see any U-Hauls behind a hearse. Nobody takes a penny with them. So the most important business in the world is settling with the enemy from above. You need a defender. You also need a defender from the enemy within your own heart. I want you to notice, if you have your Bible here, turn to Nehemiah chapter 4. I want you to see this. Nehemiah is just like us. He has struggles in life, and so do we. And you know, many times these struggles in life, I see people regularly that kill themselves for the struggle from within. I mean, people that are wealthy, and you say, why would they do that? I don't understand why they would do that. Well, they're worth millions. Why would they do that? Well, you'll notice sometimes it's just fear takes over. Look in Nehemiah chapter 6 with me, if you would. I'm sorry, Nehemiah 6. We'll look at fear first. Look at Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse number 13. Therefore, he was hired that I should be afraid. Notice in verse number 9. For they all made us afraid. And you'll notice, if you would, these are just certain days as Nehemiah's trying to build the walls that fear struck his heart. And you know, certain times in life, fear strikes all of our hearts from within. An enemy from within. It paralyzes us. I mean, what else is going on when you have a sick child that you think is very ill, or you're in a car accident and you see someone that you love is all torn up, and you begin to look at it and you begin to say, what else is there in this life? And the only thing you can think of is fear strikes your heart. Lord, please help. That was Nehemiah. He is our defender from the fear within. David said it. You'll notice, if you would, Nehemiah said it. We all have these fears that come upon us. And you'll notice, if you would, in Nehemiah 4, let me read it to you. In Nehemiah 4, in verse 10, he says, Judah said, the strength of the bearers burdened is decayed, and there's much rubbish, so we're not able to build the wall. Not only did they have this fear from within, but they had the struggles within their own heart about getting things done. Anybody here ever had a struggle with paying your bills? Anybody here ever had a struggle with your health? I mean, I don't know if I go to the doctor and, you know, my heart, my chest hurts, or this thing hurts, my neck hurts, and what are they going to say? And so there's a struggle in our heart, both fear and struggle. And we don't have an answer for it. That's the reason Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You see, we have a defender from all the struggles that are from within. Everybody in this room does. If you've trusted Christ as Savior, you're God's child. That's the reason he says, when we pray our Father which art in heaven. I know a lot of people said that. Everybody can pray that. They can't. You have to trust Christ as Savior before God the Father is your Father. Now the Lord loves people, everybody in the world. For God so loved the world. But there's a difference being born into God's family and just calling out to the Father. Now, you may call out to the Father and he may listen to you. Like I might listen to my next door neighbor if he came over and said, look, could you give me $3? There's an ice cream truck coming down the street. And it's a little boy. He says, would you give me $3 to go get? I may out of the goodness of my heart, but I don't owe it to him. It's not mine. But if my grandson comes, he's probably going to get the $3 because he's mine. And you see, all of us have the advantage of saying, Father, I need you. David many times said, Lord, help me. Nehemiah said, Lord, help me. You saw him in chapter 1, prayed and said, Lord, I need you. I give attention to you. Look back over in chapter 1 and see his attitude to prayer. Look in verse number 5, Nehemiah 1:5, and he said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Lord, I need you. You'll notice up in this passage in verse number 4, it came to pass when I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and prayed before the God of heaven. Nehemiah had it figured out. When you carry a burden, maybe it's a burden within your family. Maybe it's between you and your husband, you and your wife. Maybe it's between you and a neighbor, somebody at work. You got struggles. Do you know this? If the truth be known, everybody in this room has got a struggle with somebody at work usually. Or somebody in the neighborhood. Or somebody in the family. Everybody in this room, what do we do with it? Well, we can do one of two things. We can handle it ourselves and get a little bitter, a little angry. That's the way people lose their temper. That's the way people shoot people. That's the way people take care of it themselves. They begin to banish people. They begin to stop talking to people. They decide, I'll fix them. I'll turn their back on people. They walk away. But they don't say, Lord, I need you to help me. Lord, would you help me to handle it right? Thereby the Lord works in our hearts and we're able to forgive. We're able to go and say, I'm sorry I did that to you. Will you forgive me? The great defender can give us the strength to do what's right. You need him today to take care of the fears and the struggle in your own heart. Everybody here does. And you know, I can guarantee you there's not a person in this room that's not thinking of a struggle or a fear you've got in your heart right this minute. The question is, what are you going to do about it? You know, I remember, well, I'll just share my fear with you. I hate getting older. I hear some little murmurs. Amen. It's not for sissies, is it, isn't it? You know, I remember playing ball the other day. Just brought it back to my mind yesterday. We're playing ball, and I remember being a kid and been playing football in Texas, and we go out and throw the ball around. And every Sunday afternoon, we go out and play ball or as a football practice, whatever it was. And you'd go back, and you'd say, go out and down and up. And run a chair. And so you go out there, and if he would run and get just a step on the guy, you know, you could wait and wait and wait and wait and then throw the ball, and it'll go to him. Yesterday. Stop laughing, honey. Yesterday, we're guys out there just throwing the ball around. I love to play football. And I went out there and got the ball, and just doing around a little bit, and a couple of the guys started running pass routes, and so I threw the ball, and it was short. I said, what is the problem? That's only about 30 yards. Stop laughing, Brandon. So I got the ball again, and then the guy said, okay, look, this time, because Billy Nabol was standing out about 20 yards out. And I was saying, why didn't he move in a little bit? That's a long way out there. And in my mind, that, you know, I'm not making this adjustment. Getting old is terrible. Because all of a sudden he'd stand out there and the guy would run up and he'd bump him. Now, 30 years ago, bumping. And he'd run by, get one step on him. There goes the ball. And I went, and it went right there. Oh, my arm still hurts this morning, all right. And I looked at them and I said, Lord, it'll never get better. And you know what? For a kid who grew up in Texas, not to be able to throw a ball a long ways, it was like, it's never getting better. I get discouraged. You say, Pastor, that's nothing. Yes, it is. Now I can still throw it short. But that ain't no fun. And I begin to think about it. You know what? Your arm hurts a little bit. It never used to hurt. Play all day, it never hurt. What's going on? And you know what? As you get a little older, you don't get 50 years old and you get faster. You don't get 60 years old and you get stronger. When you're young, you just say, I'll just fight through it. And that's what you do. I want you to know something. Everybody in this room is going to face something from the inside that you can't fight through. You have to bring it to this altar and say, Lord Jesus, I'll just trust you. Come unto me, all you that are heavy laden. You need a defender. If you don't right this minute, you will tomorrow. You will for yourself. You will for somebody in your family. And it's time you learn to pray. To bring it to the Lord on your knees and say, Lord, with a broken heart, I need you. Today, are you struggling? There's a God in heaven that cares. I was amazed at the little things that the Lord knows this week. I was sick this week for 2 or 3 days, and you know, I hate being sick. Oh, I just hate it. Because you sit in your room and you do nothing. Because you don't feel like doing anything. You read a little bit, but you can't concentrate. It's just miserable. And there was a particular incident going on, and I was praying about it, and the Lord took care of it. And it was like nothing to nobody but me. I said, Lord, thank you for being concerned about little things. But I've forgotten that he knows the number of hairs on my head, the number of teeth in my head, the number of thoughts in my mind. He cares about me. I don't understand why, but I know he cares for you and for me. I know you're special enough to give his only son for you. I can't explain why. I wouldn't do it. I've only got one son. I wouldn't give my son for anybody in this room. But the God of heaven gave his son for all of us in this room. He's an amazing God. And he deserves to be loved and respected. He deserves to be gone to when you're carrying a load. The battle from the enemy within. And every one of us have it. But don't you see, lastly, the battle from without. Notice with me, if you would, in Nehemiah chapter 4. Look with me, if you would, in verse number 20. I want you to see this. You'll notice Nehemiah chapter 4. I want you to see I want to take just a minute. Nehemiah 4:17. He says this. They which built it on the wall, they that were bare burdens, and those that laid it, every one with his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. You know, Nehemiah had the same kind of things. He had enemy from without. We've got Al-Qaeda. We've got Al-Shabaab. We've got ISIS. Now, it may not necessarily affect us right this minute, but it's going to affect some of our kids. It's going to affect them. We have to be concerned and figure out what we're going to do. We need a strong military. That's the only way that you can hold the enemy at bay. We needed strong defenses. We need people. We've got to have a great police force. We've got to have a great fire department, because one of these days they're going to be needed, because the enemy's going to try to come. We know that. They've already promised that. You know, we have homegrown terrorists. As we're beginning to find out, we have people from our own place that don't love the freedoms that we have. They don't love the freedom to be able to go down and get any job that you'd like. Freedom to go to college. And what place in the world has got all the opportunities to go to college, the government loans and all the different things that we have as a privilege, and then to be able to go get a college degree, whatever you want, and then be able to live wherever you want and be able to go on vacation wherever you want. I mean, do you realize how many places in the world that's unheard of? To be able to have a car. I mean, we don't realize the privileges that we have. Not one car, two or three. Folks, we're blessed. And it's at risk. Because we have an enemy without that hates us. And some of our own people say, I like what they're saying. And you know what? We're never going to know who they are, necessarily. All we can do is be vigilant. And remember one thing. Let me read you a verse. It's important that you keep this in the back of your mind every day. The horse is prepared against the day of battle. The fire truck sitting out front is prepared against the day of need. The police car is prepared with all of its computers and the shotgun in the back, prepared for the day of battle. The paramedic, the emergency vehicle that's prepared with all of the medical supplies in it to take care of us when we're injured. The horse is prepared against the day of battle. The military, one of our military men went down to prepare to go to Iraq, and I think it was $5,000 to $7,000 worth of equipment. He went in and they just checked it out to him. Bulletproof vests, handgun, boots, all the equipment. Can you imagine doing that for hundreds of thousands of men and women? The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. You can't get that out of a box. You can't get safety in the midst of a fire from training necessarily. You get safety from the Lord. Because firemen die every year. Safety comes from the Lord. You know, we don't worry about the enemy without. We just come to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm yours. Would you take care of me? Lord, I want to offer you my heart. Lord, here's Nehemiah's answer. They made us all afraid, saying their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it shall not be done. Therefore now, O God, strengthen my hands. Lord, I need you. I need you to protect me from the enemy without. All of us in this room have enemies. You are an American, you have enemies. You're a human being, you have an enemy. Everybody in this room. Are we going to try to go it alone? We'll end up in hell. Are we going to try to go it alone? We end up ruining our country. We need each other. But most of all, we need the hand of God to protect us. Safety is of the Lord. And then the Lord has certain ones, like Todd Beamer. Just a few minutes after United Airlines Flight 175 struck the South Tower of the World Trade Center, a young man called his mother and calmly left a voicemail. Mom, this is Willis. I want you to know I'm okay. That was her last word. He was an equities trader at Sandler O'Neill and Partners on the 104th floor. But after that call, the man who was a volunteer firefighter in his teens, made his way down to the 78th floor sky lobby and became a hero to strangers, only known as the man in the red bandana. Amid the smoke and chaos and debris, he helped injured and disoriented office workers to safety, risking his own life many times in the process. Though they couldn't see much through the haze, those he saved recall a tall, slender figure wearing a red bandana, shielding his mouth and lungs. He'd come down to the 78th floor, an alcove in the building with express elevators meant to speed up trips to the ground floor. In what's been described as a strong, authoritative voice, he directed survivors to the stairway and encouraged them to help others while he carried an injured woman on his back. After bringing her down 15 floors, he brought her to safety. He went back up to help others. As the 12 that he helped save sat and talked, He's definitely my guardian angels. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Without him, none of us would be sitting here. Came down one of the survivors. He's credited with saving a dozen people that day. His body was recovered alongside firefighters in a stairwell heading back up to the tower, holding in his hands the jaws of life. Do you understand today that we as Christians hold in our hands the jaws of life to free people from their sin, from their fears within, the enemy from above, and the enemy without? All of us in this room, you need the Lord. Will you turn to him or go your own way? We need heroes today that show us the way. Will you be a hero today? Let's bow our heads for a prayer this morning. I'm going to ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymn, as we always do. I want to urge you today to consider, just like you are, if you don't know that you're on your way to heaven, would you come to me? That's what I did years ago. Hardest thing I ever did in my life. I was terrified of what people would think, what my friends would say. But I want you to know this, no friend's going to take hell for you. When I realized that, I realized Jesus loved me, I went to the Lord Jesus. He took away my sin, gave me a home in heaven, and the peace that passes all understanding. If you don't have that peace this morning, why don't you come? He's our great defender, the defender of the soul. And maybe you're here this morning and you're carrying a weight. And you've been carrying it for a while. And you've got a burden. Could I encourage you to step out, come to this altar and say, Lord, I just want to talk to you this morning. He'll listen. He loves you. Maybe today you're, the Lord's calling you to be a defender from without. The Lord does call people, missionaries, preachers, to go around the world, but he also calls firemen, police officers. He calls people to be doctors and nurses, to put yourself in harm's way sometimes, to make a difference. Whatever the Lord's calling you to do, if there's a fear, come tell the Lord you're ready. Give the Lord your heart today. He loves you. He'll stand with you and be your defender. Lord Jesus, would you speak to hearts this morning? Lord, help every person in this room to leave with peace in their heart. In your name we pray. Amen.